We'll be turning today from the place outside the veil to the place inside the veil. We've been talking about the veil quite a bit in the last three weeks. The thought and the idea, which is we've been shown in Scripture, being that the veil is that which separates us from God. It's the flesh. And ultimately, it's the veil that separates us from one another. It separates people from the depth of relationship that they could have, because it is the veil of self, the veil of self-will. And it's something that we make by our own thinking about who we are. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, tore the veil, top to bottom. And he went through, the forerunner for us, and we could go in, behind the veil, into his presence. And so I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So that's a good way to get rid of the veil. Or at least to thin it out quite a bit. To make it more and more transparent so that life can shine from within the veil out into that land of shadows. And that's our transformation. From one state of consciousness, and that is thinking that it's all up to us to make up our own plans, use our own devices to survive. And that's this sense of self-consciousness, which is very strong. And then there's the sense of being God-conscious, where we're within the veil and we're conscious of the activity of God. Two things we're conscious of: the presence of God. Not saying you have to have some mystical feeling, but it's a consciousness in the mind. God is here, and I am with him. That's the presence of God. And then the faith says, and he is active. He's not having a sleep. He is actually at work for good on my behalf. So that's the transformation of our life, from one form of consciousness to the other. So let me read the scripture here. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So how do we turn to the Lord? Well, to turn and to see and to behold, because it says we behold as in a mirror, is done with our mind. Seeing with eyes of faith is actually something that you become conscious of and believe in and trust in, and position yourself within. And that is a focus of our mind. That is the renewed mind. So turning to see or to look is done with our mind. It is where we're conscious of, focused upon. Focused upon the Lord or focused upon our own stuff. Our natural mind draws us back into the shadowy territory outside the veil of separation, where there is fear and conflict and a whole lot of other things, turmoil, strife. Just have a look, read the papers. It's all there. An innocent heart anchors itself behind the veil with God, where there is peace and power and love and wisdom to be able to negotiate the other side of the veil, which is always challenging us to do things its way in shadow land. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God, which is spoken of in the book of Hebrews, is a turning of the mind from one place to another. Repentance is the going beyond thinking, beyond our mind, into the heart, into where we hear God and we get to know God. And that repentance from dead works and faith toward God means the focus is on whom we are turning to and not what we're turning from. That is simply an exercise. That is simply a discipline. That is simply putting off something that's old, that tends towards doing things Adam's way, being renewed in the spirit of our mind and putting on something which is new, a new creation, allowing Jesus to do things his way through us. The scriptures are replete with this. This is what Paul brings as his good news, the mystery that's been hidden, the joining of two lives. But the temptation in going from day to day in this life is to have our mind on those things that are on the other side of the veil. And we are emotionally being pulled into that mindset. So faith towards Jesus is turning in our minds to Jesus for faith. I mean, you're saying faith is turning to him for faith. Exactly. We go from faith to faith and we end up with his faith working for us. That's what grace is. Grace is all of a sudden when the effort is gone and the reality is spoken of, the exhortation we had after the singing. When the reality becomes who we are. We are joined to the Lord. And he can do all things. And then we can do all things that he wants to bring to pass through him and with him. That's no longer an effort. And that's the flow of grace. So we look to him for faith. Now the mission of the Holy Spirit is to help us turn away from unbelief. That's his mission. And he struggles with us all day long, saying, you're having too much faith in yourself. You're depending on yourself again. You're getting threatened by that. You're not looking to the one, the Saviour, who can actually give you wisdom, give you peace, settle you emotionally, give you compassion, give you joy in the midst of this. Turn to him. And that's the Holy Spirit's work. Turning from us from unbelief, from our own faith in ourselves, which is dead works. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. God works in us to will and to do of his good will. So looking now at this transformational work that happens when we turn to the Lord, as we saw in the previous scripture about beholding him as in a mirror. In other words, being conscious of the fact that before eternity, before the world was created in eternity, you were one with Jesus. And you were his thought. It says in the book of Ephesians, you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen means a really deliberate thought, a selective thought of I am now willing this purpose and destiny into this life that I now have in my heart, eternally, always have. And in the course of time, that life will manifest itself and hopefully join itself to me so that we can actually live together in this temporary phase of being on earth in this planet for a lifetime. So our salvation is for that lifetime. I mean, eternity is a done deal. We've been there, but we can throw that away. We can toss everything in the garbage heap by just resisting and rejecting. But the Holy Spirit is there tugging us. I believe he's just not going to stop doing that. He's out there doing it. So it says also in the book of Hebrews, don't neglect this great salvation. I'm not just talking about going to heaven, it's talking about what you can have in this earth now. Go from one side of the veil to the other. And what happens when you go from one side of the veil, the dark side, to the light side? You connect. And what do you do then? Well, you can sit around and enjoy it, that's good, but at some point you've got to go out of there, back in to where it's all happening, and that's when you take him with you, and that's when the world could start being transformed as well. We're waiting for that, aren't we? And it starts at home. Put it this way, within the circle of our world, our place, in our time and our space, where we live, whatever we might be doing. So let me read the scripture of transformation. James chapter 1, verse 23, which speaks about if you're just a hearer of the word, you just listen to it, but you don't do it, you're looking at yourself in a mirror. You see who you really are because it tells you basically what I've just told you, and then you forget about it. You've seen the wonderful vista, the glory, and then you go out into the world, you forgot what kind of a person you are, and you get dragged into all this stuff again. So this is what James is saying. If you just or only listen to it, that's God's word about who you really are, and don't live out from it, it's like looking into a mirror and observing your original self. That is your Genesis self, as it says in that scripture, in the original language, that came into being in eternity and ignoring the wonder of that. That's what it's like. It's looking at yourself in the mirror, the one that came into being in eternity, looking at it and saying, wow, you mean I'm blameless and innocent? I've been created that way and I have put this veil there of my own willfulness, which is all the sin and everything else that traps me, and do you mean I'll never sin again? It's not saying that. It means that you've still got that tendency to sin in you all the time. We say we have no sin, we make it a lie. It just means you can be lifted above the compulsion to have to use the world's thinking to live your life productively and effectively and lovingly and peacefully and relationally. You've been saved from that. As long as you remember what kind of person you are, because he's forgiven and he has mercy on our missing of the mark. He has mercy on our unrighteousness, our lack of harmony with him, our missing of that alignment where we have all the good intentions, but we fall short. And he says, I see your heart and I have mercy on that. It's not going to stop me from empowering you to allow me to live through you. So we don't ignore the wonder of it. And the mercy allows us to connect with it unashamedly. Verse 24, you catch a glimpse of what this innocent, God-trusting life is. That is the real you. But when you get back into the daily routine, you forget all about how you can live that life with God experience that has just been revealed to you. But if you look intently into the freedom of what that perfect life principle holds for you and focus on it and anchor yourself in it, you will live out from it and be blessed in every area of your life. That's good news. It's worth proclaiming. The freedom means we let ourselves out of prison. Not only that, we release the Holy Spirit out as well. Because he's with us wherever we are. He's with us in all that darkness, tugging away. But can we release his power when we're out there in our own effort and struggling? because he's only heading in one direction. He's saying, over here, come on, back in here, where I can be released in power, where you can get the faith to actually speak into this darkness and see light come into it. Come on, back here. We said, no, I like it here. And he says, all right, well, I'll stay here with you until I convince you to get out. I'll use everything in my power to dislodge you from this terrible place where your mind is gone about who you think you are and what the devil wants you to think you are, the ideas that you've got about yourself because of what other people have told you once upon a time or whatever. Listen to what I'm telling you about who you are. There it is. I've written it. I've spoken it. Now, come on, in here. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He upholds the universe. You think, well, it's good that I've got Jesus there. He's a good friend and he will help me. Dear gentle Jesus, absolutely, dear gentle Jesus. He just happens to uphold the universe by the word of his power. Our dear gentle Jesus. He just happens to be the greatest force that has ever existed, the creative force, the logos that lives within us, the word of creative order that is within us, waiting to be spoken into situations miraculously, waiting to live. Now, he upholds the universe. His word orders the universe in the midst of all the turmoil and the darkness. And that word is in you, in communion with him behind the veil. And we're going in behind the veil today, have communion with him. We're going to turn from something. We're not going to take all that other those thoughts in the air, are we? We're going to focus on him. We turn from communion with the word of the world. And you're going to have plenty of words of the world when you sit and have communion today. There'll be words that the world has been talking to you all week. You turn from that word into his word, from him. He's waiting. When a person recaptures, if you just think of this, I'm going to close with this kind of thought. When a person recaptures a moment when God became so very close that he took away fear and unbelief. And you've known those moments when all of a sudden he's there, the grace of God is there. They will testify that God became magnified. They decreased and Jesus increased. Everything got in order. All of the problems we've blown up, that if we don't solve it, then we're doomed. And a week later, what was that thing that I was going to be doomed about? You know, forgotten it. But at that time, we're doomed. But we decrease. Everything gets put in its right place. He is magnified. That's all David had going for him in the Psalms. Magnify the Lord. That's all the Psalms of praise. And that is the approach, that is the mindset. And today, when we're going behind the veil, all you have to do is think, you're everything. All of that out there, that's not going to spook me because you've got it all in hand. I'm coming in here. And the devil will say, that's a waste of time because you should be thinking on how you can solve all those nitty-gritty problems. You should be working out those things that you were going to say that would justify that you were right and they were wrong about this. No. You're coming in here. So, the paradox is that we decrease and he increases, but we become more of the person we really are and would like to be. That's transformation. We share in his spirit with him and each other. The weakest link is our turning back to our own strength, to try and make better efforts to fix the past or to fix the present or the future. I'll tell you one thing. I know what is fixed. The present is fixed. The present is absolutely fine because he is with you now and he's active now. He's not trying to fix the past. He is with you in the present because he has got your future to unveil to you. So the first thing you leave out is the past. All right, if you've got some worries about the future, okay, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but all right, you can bring some of them in. But don't drag the past in, for goodness sake. It's gone. We heard the word of exhortation this morning. It's an illusion. What was the word you used? Delusional. It's not real. It's not real. It's gone. You would say, oh, no, no, because I remember. Well, where is it alive? Where is it living? In the silly head. And in my emotional attachment to that silly thing. But it's not there. I am here now. And now is where the action is happening. Now is where I can have communion. And the future will come from this now, not from there. Amen. Now is the day of salvation. So give me as much of now as I can get, because that's sorted out. That's fixed. My heart is fixed. So I say, you can bring a bit of I'm wondering about the future in with you, because God will settle that for you. Religion urges people to try harder to repent and to have faith. But grace simply turns our face towards his greatness. That's all it does. That's all we're doing today. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen.